grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you're here for a first time or you're visiting or you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. It's great to have you here on this third Sunday of Lent. And just to note that if you're here and your family has young children, if there's a need for you to get up and move about a bit, that's certainly okay and can certainly be accommodated. There are some items in the back corner that are perhaps useful if you need a distraction of some sort, but make yourself comfortable, and we are happy that you are here with us. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Just want to say a welcome as well to any who might be joining us by way of the live stream or listening after the fact to the recorded audio podcast. We welcome you. And if you are live and you'd like to leave a note in the chat, we'd be happy to hear that you're there. The nature of the platform, of course, is that we can tell that there's a person there, but we don't know who it is until they actually make an entry in the chat. So, like I say, if you're able, just say hi. And Rick Hall is on video this morning. There are a couple of things that I'll just highlight from the notices, and one of those has to do with tomorrow. Kathleen Snow will be commissioned as president of the Worldwide Mothers Union tomorrow, beginning Atlantic time at 12 noon. Now, needless to say, some of us wished that we could be there. Others had planned to be there and that didn't work out, including our bishop. And there was some activity over there early in the weekend, maybe on Friday, I think, with a fire somewhere in London. And so there was a flight or two from here that were canceled. So Kathleen may not have everyone that had planned to be there, but I know Lillian Ketch has made it. And I'm not sure was Susan. Susan was going. And Michelle, yes, Michelle LeBlanc. Yeah. So there will be some over there. It is possible for us to take part, though, by watching online. So there is a link. You can find it through the Cathedral website or by way of our YouTube channel. If you click on the featured video, it will, and you stay there for 20 seconds, it will lead you to a link that'll connect you directly over to St. Martin in the Fields. In London, or I'm sure that it's available in other places as well. So if you have difficulty, please let us know. We'd be happy to help. This is a big deal. It's a big deal for Kathleen. It's a big deal for Mothers Union. And it's a big deal for us. So we're prayerfully in support. And I've been in touch with Kathleen a bit this past week, and it's been busy, but it's exciting. Just to mention that there is a note in the bulletin about a luncheon being planned for next Sunday. That's an invitation that's coming from our Mothers Union for chili or soup. And it's meant to be a bit of a fundraising event. So if it's possible for us to make a contribution toward lunch, we'd be encouraged to do that. So that will follow immediately after the 10:30 next Sunday. I would suggest that if you happen to be here earlier in the day and want to come back, that would be quite all right to do. Probably by 11:45, we'll be up and running over there. So you might want to plan that. And a thanks to Mothers Union for that invitation, and we can look forward to lunch together next Sunday. So we'll plan not to have refreshments here, but we will go over for that. And that's the fourth Sunday of Lent, also known in some parts of the communion as Mothering Sunday. So you're invited to that, and keep that in mind. I'll just mention quickly that there are annual reports left at the back of the church, so if that's something that you hadn't picked up, you're welcome to do that. There's also a link to that in a digital form from our website. I'll mention, too, that below the bulletin board at the back on the big white cube, which is actually the washrooms, but the bulletin board, along there on the bottom are a number of forms. So there's an e-offering application and change form. There are forms there for collecting your information if you're interested in being on the cathedral congregational list, and other forms as well. So those are there, and I just point those out to you. Again, they're also available from links on the website, but sometimes paper is the preferred thing. You might also note that on the website at the very top, on the right-hand side, one of the links there on the corner is a subscribe link. And if for some reason you're not already subscribed to any of our newsletter lists, you're welcome to go there and you can self-subscribe. And of course, pause it whenever you want and give only the information that you need. So that link is there on the front page of our website as well. And just a reminder that Lenten programming continues. And while it's not on the flyer, there is still the lectionary study on Tuesday afternoons at 12:30. So we're 2:30. And we're taking a look at the readings for the coming Sunday. We're meeting in the boardroom at the hall, but there's also a video conference link if that's more convenient for you or you happen to need it. So if that's something that you haven't been part of but would like to join, let me know and I can make all of that available for you. And I've also got paper copies of the materials with me today if that's something that would be helpful. And I said I was going to be brief. Sounded like a sermon to me. Anything else that needs to be announced? No? We're going to be worshiping today using the green-colored book of alternative services. And we're going to begin with the penitential rite, which you'll find on page 45. Page 45 of the Book of Alternative Services. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Seek the Lord while he wills to be found. Call upon him when he draws near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the evil ones their thoughts, and let them return to the Lord, and he will have compassion, and to our God, for he will richly pardon. Dear friends in Christ, as we prepare to worship Almighty God, let us with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. And as we kneel, let us pray. And together, most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Father of mercy, alone we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. When we are discouraged by our weakness, strengthen us to follow Christ, our pattern and our hope, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we'll be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
I will feast. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, "The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play." We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ Jesus to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the end of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out, so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Oh, The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of Christ.
If it bears fruit, well and good. If not, cut it down. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I suppose if we're paying attention, what we'll come to realize about the Gospel of Luke as we read along this year is that Luke is the Gospel of second chances. Today, Jesus tells a parable about a barren fig tree. The imagery is reminiscent of the scriptures in which the people of God are compared to a garden planted and tended by the Lord. But before he gets to that, he sets out to dispel a common misperception of the faithful people of his time, and interestingly enough, also of ours. That is, that God's judgment is the experience of God's wrath apart from God's mercy. And we joke about it, don't we? God will get you for that. But deep down, we also somehow believe it. It's the same understanding held by the friends of Job. Job, in the Old Testament, lost literally everything. Possessions, family, even his health. And Job's friends spent all of their time trying to figure out what Job had done to deserve such misfortune. Rabbi Harold Kushner, in his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, argues that misfortune is not necessarily God's punishment for our miserable sins. It's altogether possible, maybe even likely, that wrongdoing, being out of step with creation, can lead to our demise. But that didn't really describe Job. And it really doesn't describe many of us. Stuff happens. It's our pervasive inability, it seems, to understand that everything that goes around doesn't necessarily have us at the center of it. Nobody is just necessarily out to get us, least of all our God. It's the reality that some stuff just happens. All of that said, we also need to guard against overcompensating. That is, the tendency to believe that there is no judgment at all. Because there is divine judgment. There is a bottom line, and it's probably best if we don't walk on it. What we miss is that the judge is also the one who saves. The judge intercedes for us. So Jesus said to his disciples, "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" And actually, it was the disciples who said that to Jesus. "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither." Jesus answers, and he gave the man his sight. Pilate slaughtered hundreds as they offered sacrifices, and surely they deserved God's punishment. A tower fell on 18 and killed them dead. What had they done? So you see the pattern. But the experience of God's wrath, apart from God's mercy, is not inevitable. Rather, it's contingent upon repentance. The Greek word there is metanoia, and it's translated as repentance. What's conveyed there is not a feeling of regret or being sorry, either sincerely or otherwise. It's a complete turning away from former beliefs and actions in faithful acceptance of the proclamation of God's kingdom in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that's the hope. That's the hope offered in Jesus' parable of the fig tree. Not that God is going to do something different, but that we are going to do something different. Some have made attempts to read the allegory literally, understanding the 3 years represent Jesus' ministry, the tree itself as the Jewish nation. But perhaps it's best to focus simply on the notion that the fig tree is reflective of the apathy and indecision that is widespread among those who hear Jesus' message. Because the tree looks good. Lovely foliage, just no fruit. and delay of its destruction should in no way suggest a lack of urgency. Because there is judgment, just in the parable, the consequences are delayed. And the delay creates some space. And the space makes opportunity for transformation, change, reform. And the change, the turning around, is the desired end, not the destruction of a fruitless fig tree. But preacher, you may be saying, don't the Gospels also tell about Jesus cursing a fruitless fig tree? And you would be right. Both Mark and Matthew include that incident. All involve fig trees, but that's the only similarity. Here, Luke has Jesus telling a parable. Luke is the gospel of second chances. Remember the prodigal son. The younger brother squanders his whole inheritance even before his father dies. The older son gets no reward for his loyalty and service. The prodigal gets a party. Jesus calls Levi, famous for being a tax collector, to be a disciple. In fact, he calls all the 12, all of which have somewhat questionable backgrounds. And remember, turn the other cheek. Jesus talks about trees and their fruit more than once. Go and sin no more, he told the woman caught in adultery. When the disciples argued about who should be first, he took a child upon his knee. And the thief on the cross, well, Luke would have him say, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke is the gospel of second chances. Space which allows for change. Jesus is the God of second chances. Luke's audience was primarily Gentile. When he wrote, it wasn't for those on the inside who should have known better. Luke's gospel version is global. All of us who need a chance and who need to change. But at every turn, we take that all too much for granted, it seems. We squander inheritances. I make excuses about how hard it's been lately, how my abundance is really my good fortune and only for me to use. We're polluting and destroying the good creation. We believe affluence to be what we deserve and use more than our share. When someone wrongs us, we're quick to judge. How dare they disrespect us? Off with their heads, as Lewis Carroll's Queen of Hearts once said. I shop the bargains, I do, yes I do. Even when it means my closer neighbors lose their livelihood. So the leaves are lush and green. We say the right things, but the fruit is not always there. I need divine mercy, and I need time to repent. I need time to turn around. And what I also need to understand is that it can't take forever. The time is now. I need to do it. And I'm betting that might describe you too. So what's to be done? When the foliage looks great, but the fruit is scarce. When the tree stands tall, but that's all. When it just isn't meeting the expectation. Well, let's hope that the answer is this. Dig around it. Throw some manure on it. Give it another season. And if still there is no fruit, cut it down. Amen. We're going to continue now on page 188. There you'll find the Nicene Creed. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As our Lord promised to be near, let us seek and call upon God in prayer, saying, Lord, have mercy. For church leaders and people, particularly today, remembering the Anglican Church in Central America, their primate Juan David Alvarado Melgar. For the Anglican Church of Canada, our acting primate Anne, and Bishop Ordinary to the Canadian Armed Forces, Nigel Shaw, and all our military chaplains. In the Diocese of Ho, Bishop Matthias and the people there. In the Diocese of Yukon, Bishop Leslie, and today the Bishop School for Yukon Ministries. We remember Archbishop David and Debbie and Jeffrey and all our clergy here. And for those preparing for baptism, confirmation, and reception, that we may all heed the God who calls us to repentance, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our Prime Minister Mark and government, and this likely time of election, for all the nations of the world, for people suffering through war and those who are displaced, that all may live in harmony, justice, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those enslaved in body or in spirit, for those who toil for little gain, that God may rescue them and grant freedom, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for this worship community, for Jeffrey and all who work for us. That during this holy season, God's grace may produce in us the fruit that God seeks. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our own needs and those of others, particularly from our cathedral prayer list, Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, David and Janice, Dolph, David, Maureen, Heather, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, Debbie, Blanche, and Brent. And for the Mastin and McAvoy families in their grief, that God will give healing and comfort, with thanks for God's promise that we will not be tested beyond what we can endure. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. God, ever faithful and true, from of old you have revealed yourself as one who will be with your people to save them. Teach us your ways and help us to turn from what is wrong and follow you. We ask this through Jesus, the true way. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Gracious God, we know your power to triumph over weakness. May we who ask forgiveness be ready to forgive one another. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. The great thanksgiving is in the form of Eucharistic prayer too. You are encouraged to remain standing, but if you find that you need to be seated or you would rather kneel, you're welcome to do so. Eucharistic prayer 2, page 196. Page 196.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way, yet did not sin. By his grace we are able to triumph over every evil, and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us. Therefore, with angels and archangels, who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name.
Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ.
All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The breaking of the bread is number 7. We break this bread.
Communion in Christ's body, once broken.
Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we abide with him, we shall live with him.
If we hold firm, we shall reign with him. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we stand, let us pray. God of mercy and forgiveness, may we who share this sacrament live together in unity and peace. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us go forth.